This is the Shift Podcast.
Today on the Shift Daily Podcast, Tom Jackson's new song, Lost Souls, is out. We replay part of the conversation from last week and we highlight his work. We also get into the conversation around Kamloops residential school discoveries as an election issue. On a case you missed it with Ryan O'Donnell, Blue Jays are smoking hot, and there are a slew of new Metallica covers to dig into. Ryan is not pleased. Plus, are you okay with being patriotic? Now let's get into are you okay? Are you okay with 5-year anniversary gifts from work?
I've never lasted that long anywhere.
No, you haven't, huh?
I worked at EB Games for almost like 8 years total. And the best thing I ever got from them was I got a 25-cent raise one time.
Well, that's amazing.
25
after my
cents.
First year.
Wow.
That was it.
Surprised you didn't stick around.
Yeah.
That being said, I've worked at radio stations where the only raise I got in like 5 years was nothing. So it's my 5-year anniversary working here. I don't want to sound ungrateful, but I'm curious what everyone else, you know, they offer a gift, which is fine. I'm grateful for the gift, whatever it is. And there's some really fun things that they offer as a gift, but I find it some of it so strange. They do the classic things like a bracelet or a ring. They've got some more basic watches, stuff like that, right? If for the folks who like pearls, they've got some pearls and stuff like that. So that to me seems like a corporate congratulations, thanks for working here and your hard work. That seems like you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Then they've got some real life things. Like a walk. That seems like luggage. That seems like a
nice,
pretty.
Oh, I need
right?
luggage. Yeah, I need luggage. I need luggage really bad. I guess I gotta wait another 3 or 4 years here.
Yeah, but then there's other things that I think are really funny. You have to put this together when you look at it this way. Thanks for your hard work and 5 years of service. Would you like a Black & Decker stud sensor?
Hey, I've got one of those. They're very good.
Yeah. So I think that seems weird to me that I don't know. Thanks for 5 years of service. Would you like a travel humidifier?
Oh,
I did that.
Okay. Yeah.
My dad would love one of those.
Mm-hmm.
There's something for everyone here. That's what you need to take away from this.
It's like the Price is Right. You know how there's the one really spectacular showcase and the other one's kind of got weird stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The stuff that the other companies paid to get on the show, right?
Yeah.
Thanks for 5 years of service. Would you like an electronic retractable iron?
It could use one, yeah.
I guess.
Wait, so there's no steam? It's just like a
I don't know. Croquet set?
Is that really Canadian? Like croquet? Like, is that something that...
Bocce ball?
Well, bocce ball's fun. That's really fun.
Yeah.
I already have bocce ball.
Nice.
A laundry hamper.
That's weird.
It better be a really nice one. Because, I mean, I just got one from, like, Superstore that was, like... $7 or something, plastic
gift basket.
Like, there's some fancy juice blender things that are probably expensive.
Oh yeah,
you know. So there's some nice things on here, but I don't know. Like Hot Tools one step blowout detachable volumizer brush.
What does that do?
It sounds like something for my hair.
It's something that you would love, there, bald guy.
Now I know what I'm getting at my 5 years.
I don't know what they're saying here, but after 5 years, you can get one. These are expensive in general, but you can get one kettlebell vinyl coated 30-pound weight.
Just one, eh?
Mm. Just one.
Well, you work in radio. We know you need it. That's what.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking. They're trying to tell me something here. Would you like some noise canceling headphones? No, thanks. I steal the ones from work.
Yeah.
What brand are they? Are they like a nice brand? Like a
Sony on the picture?
Ooh, that's nice. They make the best, man. Well, not the best, but for bargain? Yeah, nice. Mm-hmm.
And in case you were really wondering what 5 years of service gets you, if you ever really wanted a flared 11-inch vase for flowers.
A vase. Ooh.
Right. Oh, go well with your croquet shirt.
Thank you for the vase.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it's neat. I'm not ungrateful, although I've got to be telling you, there is a 14-inch Smoky Joe briquette barbecue that I think would be pretty perfect for picnics and stuff.
Barbecue would be sweet.
Yeah. Well, it's like a little 14-inch one that's about that big, and it takes briquettes. But it would be fun for cooking two burgers at a time at a picnic.
That's quite a diversity of items. Yeah,
and I don't want to sound ungrateful, because I'm not ungrateful. I will happily, with a smile on my face, pick something from this list, and it will be cool. I just find it to be strange. Very strange. Of course, it could be worse. There are many companies out there that offer you, here's your 5-year pin with the company logo on it to wear on your suit. Thanks for your service. Is it made of gold? Because I'd like to melt it down. There's a point you get to when you're working for a company, though, where it just seems to get too much, like too far. Right? I'm all for support the company. Absolutely. The company supports me. I can support the company. No problem. It just seems weird. Although I will tell you that if you do this right, I still have my grandfather's retirement watch. And I think it was the Canadian Nickel Company in Flin Flon. I don't know if that's what they were called at the time. But I have my dad gifted it to me. I have my grandfather's Omega retirement watch. That's nice.
I wear my grandfather's 15 years at Sun Life financial ring every day. It was the only thing of his that I have. And I love this ring. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. There's some cool stuff. There's some cool memories you can make from that. Or laundry hamper.
I should get something for like 20 jobs in 5 years.
Yeah,
they'll
all
pitch in.
All the companies should get together and pitch in. Yeah.
I love that.
Hey, I can get you a laundry basket if you like.
Oh, nice.
Are you okay? Are you okay with being patriotic?
In subtle ways.
There's a time and a place. That's kind of how I go, Wyatt. You know, during the Olympics, something unlocks within. You become like super Canadian. Or if like, you know, you do something really cool, or like, you know, stuff with Leila Fernandez at the U.S. Open, absolutely. But like, I don't know. It's not like a necessity of my day-to-day life. I like to be patriotic when I feel that the time is right. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
By definition, it does make me ask this question. Showing love for your country and being proud of it is that's the Cambridge one, which is always more casual. Having or expressing devotion to and vigorous support for one's country. So I'm all for it, except for the vigorous part. I think the time and place for your vigorousness is probably
yes.
A thing.
Yeah.
But I would say expressing devotion, I think so. I would think I'm patriotic as a Canadian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to think. Yeah, I say A too. A lot. Yeah, me that's too. Patriotic.
I listen to Road Apples loudly on the bus. That's
tragically him. Yeah, there it is. Yeah. Very patriotic.
Rush.
If there is one nation on earth that wears its patriotism like a massive, absurdly aggressive suit of armor, it's the United States of America. And that patriotism saved one of a cat's 9 lives on Saturday in, guess what state? Florida.
Hey. What does it mean to be from Florida?
Florida. Straight drill.
We'd like to take a moment and thank Florida for the constant contribution to the shift. In this story, though, the cat somehow got into a Hard Rock Stadium in Miami and then got caught by one of... Then got caught by one of its paws.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure that grammar's weird. Off the facade of the upper deck in the first quarter. But there were some truly American fans waiting underneath to make the best catch of the game by using an American flag. Here's more from Local 10 News Miami.
The cat was dangling perilously from a wire underneath the seats at the University of Miami Hurricanes home opener against the Appalachian State Mountaineers last night. The fans began screaming as the feline dropped an estimated 30 feet, but their horror turned to jubilation as the fans below caught the cat and everyone cheered. Cromer and his wife Kimberly each held two corners of the American flag to break the cat's fall, saving its life on the 20th anniversary of 9/11.
Well, it was so quick. I mean, I felt a big tug, and then the corner of my left hand just kind of went out, and that's when the cat fell down below.
And how do you feel about being called a hero?
I think anybody would have done it. And actually, my wife's more the hero. She's the one that brings the flag to the game every time.
America.
Okay, so first of all, I admire them bringing the flag to the game every game. That every part's game. Cool. I'll give you that part. That part's cool. I don't think you can talk about the anniversary of 9/11 and saving a cat and calling that guy a hero in the same piece and keep that one balanced. I don't think that's quite the same.
I agree with you. It's just the optics of the fact that at a football game on the 20th anniversary of 9/11, a cat fell from the top balcony and was caught by an American flag. It's just kind of like, and it happened in Florida. It's just kind of like, of course this would happen.
Well, they land on their feet all the time. What's the big deal? If it was a dog, if there was a dog that fell from the balcony, you better catch the dog because the dog is too dumb. He's going to land on his head.
I tell you though, right? If you watch the video, which is, this video is crazy, that cat probably would not have landed very well. It was very high up.
Seems weird to me to call them a hero on the anniversary of 9/11. I think that
that's fair. That's a weird. That's one. Very fair.
I'm Googling the value on Amazon of all these different things. Probably not cool of me. Are you okay? Are you okay with Sepphoris?
It sounds like the name of like a graphic design company. You know, their ads is like, we'll put you forward in today's ever-moving world. Sepphoris, visions for you.
Wow, that was very good.
That's what it sounds like to me.
That's a typo.
Yeah, but, I know.
Are you okay with Sepphoris?
Oh,
okay, that makes more sense because I was like, yeah. I don't know what that is. But Sepphoris, if they're natural ones, sure, whatever. Yeah, go out into the wild and see them in their natural habitat. Don't go to that place in Ontario.
Oh, you're not going to like the clip I have lined up.
I'm not a big fan of the browser. I'm much more of a Chrome or Firefox. But
I agree. Agreed. No, the browser is terrible.
It's very bad. Actually, you know, it's not that bad on the phone. I don't understand how it could be so terrible everywhere else, but it's not that bad on the phone. That's weird. Okay, let's just hit the clip.
It's catchy jingle in those places too.
The best jingle. I grew up with that jingle, man. But I only went there once and I was like, this is lame. Where are the lions? And why are they in Canada? It's like 10 degrees outside. Why are they here?
The reason why DJ BK struggles with this one is he used to work at an animal type park and took a stand against it. Is that fair enough to say?
Yes.
Without getting you in trouble?
Yeah.
Causing any breaches of non-disclosure that might have been enforced upon people who blow whistles?
I've got nothing enforced upon me. I could say a whole lot more. I just, this chorus doesn't, they would prefer I don't.
We don't need to cause any undue trouble. Not specifically African lion safari isn't in Ontario, just Sepphoris in general. You can travel to Africa to see the animals in the wild, like the real wild. Or if you're in Washington, you can just look out your back window because there is a pack of zebras on the loose. Here's more from News 4.
We went and talked to a family who actually took some video of the zebras, and then just a few minutes ago, I got off the phone with animal control, and finally, I think I know the whole story, but take a look at this video. This is some video that was shot by a family called the Curling family of Upper Marlboro. One of their daughters, Layla, happened to be looking out the window and saw what she said initially was a deer, and then she took, you know, a double take and said, wait a minute. No, that's a zebra.
Then I called 311.
What did they say?
Oh, she thought I was crazy.
Yeah.
She thought I was crazy. She paused for a long minute. I said, ma'am, I'm not drinking. I have not had any drugs. I had zebras in my backyard walking on the train track. And she paused
again
a long time. And she said, okay, here's the number.
Because I was like, how in the world could there be zebras here in Upper Marlboro?
Okay, can we hear the first part of that? Because this guy is like way too Jersey Shore about these zebras. Can you play that beginning?
We went and talked to a family who actually took some video of the zebras, and then just a few minutes ago,
he says the zebras.
Wait, no. No, he doesn't.
He does. Play it again.
We went and talked to a family who actually took some video of the zebras, and
no.
He does. They're zebras, man. They're my zebras.
Oh, I hate that. So, I mean, it's... I can't believe I didn't notice that.
That's oh, like my goodness.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
Well, the story is that why there are zebras in Washington. Turns out the zebras are legally owned and apparently escaped from a farm. They're now in a field, and they're going to try to get them fed and corral them and take them home. I just thought because the Washington Zoo has no gates.
Oh, yeah, you'd think.
But there's no gates on the Washington Zoo because you can just walk in. There's no...
Wait, like, seriously?
Yeah, it's free. So I'm assuming... Maybe, yeah, maybe there's a gate that closes at nighttime, I suppose. But yeah, you can just walk in. It's free. So. Costs you a fortune to park there, but those national monuments are free. So...
That's cool.
Yeah, they charge for parking. We have time? Yep. Are you... on? Yeah. Let's just get... Just play the clip then. Actually, yeah. Play the clip.
Oh,
Zebras.
62...
Bingo! Bingo! Bingo!
Zebras! Are you okay? Are you okay with bingo? Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's good times. Good times.
I like old school dauber bingo, though. None of this iPad crap.
Yeah, you got to do it old school. It's one of those games. I think it's like bocce ball. Where when I was growing up, it's like, oh, that's for people who are in their 40s or 50s. I don't care. I want to play video games. And then mom would take me to play bingo. And I'm like, oh, this is actually pretty great.
It's great. Okay. A group of Republicans in Indiana recognize that bingo's awesome. They're using bingo to fundraise. Here's more from 16 News Now.
There'll be 10 winners. Each winner will win a gun.
Party officials tell me there are 6 handguns and 4 long guns available to win that they have purchased from local dealer Two Bear Arms. County Chairman Mike Reagan points out it's not a gun giveaway.
We're not actually having the guns in our possession. We're not turning a gun over to anybody. The process of obtaining the gun would be what you would normally do if you would go to a gun dealer and buy a gun. You have to be 21. You can't be a felon.
Sheriff Kyle Dukes, who is running for re-election on the Republican ticket next year, explains why he supports the fundraiser, one amid an ongoing debate nationwide about access to firearms.
The gun debate here, in the United States that we're having today, it's one of those that... where we don't want the shootings, we don't want the mass shootings, we don't. But again, the right to bear arms is extremely important, and I take that very serious as sheriff here in Kosciuszko County.
Dukes says state and federal laws will be followed at this event. Background checks will be conducted.
We don't want the shootings, but free gun for you. Bingo, pew pew.
This is the Shift Podcast.
Last week here on The Shift, we had Tom Jackson on, a Canadian Christmas lover with a Huron Carol. He's a singer. He's an actor. He's been in all kinds of shows lately, actually. He's got a show with Liam Neeson that he did. And he was also on Outlander. If you know Outlander, what a fantastic... I love Outlander. It's one of my favorite shows. And he was on there, too, Cold Pursuit with Liam Neeson. And he told us last week that he's working on a follow-up to that. So we had Tom on because A, he's awesome. B, Tom and I shared dinner a long time ago, and I've never reached out to catch up. So I wanted to do that. And he is he's such an interesting man. Tom wrote a song. It's kind of a spoken word mix with a song called Lost Souls. It's around Kamloops and the 215 unmarked graves that were discovered there. And so they didn't release it until Friday because of the business machine of music releases and all that stuff has to be done. We didn't play it. And I wanted to play it for you tonight. But to reset it, I have not taken the entire interview from last week. I have edited down to just sort of the beginning as we talked about Tom's wife, Allison, and how remarkable she is to him. And then I ask him about lost souls and what it all means. And so my conversation for you before we play Lost Souls with Canadian Tom Jackson on The Shift, here's kind of how it went.
I'm awesome and then some. And it's almost embarrassing for one to say that in these times, but I'm very happy living in my personal wonderland. And I have my own Wonder Woman to go with it.
Well, you know, it's funny because when I was looking up your info to reconnect with you, I remembered you telling me about Allison. And I remembered the name of your company and all the things that you had shared with me. And that was the biggest thing that I remembered from our conversation was us talking about your Allison and this partner in crime, if you will, that you have in your life. If it's not too private, Tom, since we're here already, we just share with us how amazing this person is in being with you and supporting you.
A couple of things I can tell you that, I love her. We've been together for 30 years or more. And I love her more every day. You may not find that plausible, but I love her more every single day, including today. And I once wrote a song, I think it was only four lines. So, ain't nobody gonna take me away from you. I made up my mind, and what's true is true. I'll never love another, and here's the reason why. You rescued me, and your love made me cry. So if you add that to the other half, that's the length of the song. But I'll tell you, if you don't know these parts of my world, Allison fell in love with a drug addict. I was living in a hole in the ground not long before I met Allison. And so you have to imagine what kind of strength it takes to get from there to where we are today. And I'm not doing anything but bragging on Allison's strength. And if you want to bore yourself, go look at my resume, because it doesn't have much to do with me. It has a lot to do with Allison. And but there's a lot in that. There's a lot in that bio, in that journey, that's worth seeing when you're trying to figure out where you fit in the world next to your partner, who these days is called Wonder Woman, and you'll figure out why. She has other attributes too. She from time to time is known as Snow White because there's nothing, and I'm the Seven Dwarfs. She's Snow White, I am the Seven Dwarfs. But there's nothing, we live in the country, nothing in this lodge that it isn't safe. Like everything in this lodge is safe, with the exception of mosquitoes. Huh.
So how do we start that, Tom? I remember when the Kamloops news had come out so long ago, it seems like, but only yesterday. And yet I said, the day that we stop talking about this is the biggest crime of all. There's a point we get to where we've all mulled it over and we've compartmentalized it in our brains. And then there's a day that we sort of stop talking about it again, which is what has happened all the way through this. So how do we keep it in conversation? And I'm hoping that with that question, you'll also let us know about Lost Souls.
It's really important to recognize that some things are invisible and we have to make them visible. We have to help them become visible. Some people fall into the invisible category. Some people get depressed and all of a sudden they become invisible and they feel invisible. And it's important for us to go and make them visible. And we don't always have vehicles with which to do that. Well, there is a vehicle. When I heard the story about the 215 lost souls in Kamloops, I was in Scotland. And I wrote right there and then this piece that I believe can be a vehicle, can help people keep it visible in front of them, keep their lens working, not putting wedges into places that they simply change the beneficial course that exists. I don't know that there's a better time in history to understand what the word indigenous means.
Thank you for being here, Tom. Congratulations on the Lost Souls piece. It is a song, but it's spoken word as well. It's very poetic, and that's my favorite stuff, so I love that. I really appreciate it, man.
Okay. Love you. Later. Bye.
Tom Jackson. It's The Shift. I'm Shane Hewitt. This is his latest piece. It's called Lost Souls.
Hoping to play with dolls and toys, or maybe Indians and cowboys. Sister says, don't speak your language, it's just dead noise. Father, you said you came to pray, but I think you're losing control. Please, Father, let me go. I won't tell. No one will know. You broke my heart, now you want my soul. It's tearing me apart. Where do lost souls go? Where do 215 lost souls go? You get so much praise for your long, beautiful braid. Your life is in your hair. I'll cut it. You say a prayer. Government says we got an issue. We don't know what to do. Too brave and proud, it's true. Chop that totem down an inch or two. You broke my heart. Now you want my soul. It's tearing me apart. Where do lost souls go? Where do 215 lost souls go? Lift her skirt and lay her in the dirt. If this stays hidden, there is no villain. If you want to defeat the Indian, take away their children. You broke my heart. Now you want my soul. It's tearing me apart. Where do lost souls go? Where do 215 lost souls go?
Lost Souls and Tom Jackson's spoken word song, doesn't matter what you call it. Lost Souls is very unique. If you want to catch that again, you can just search it on YouTube. It is also on our The Shift Radio Show Facebook group for you to check it out. Now, to turn this into current times and what's everything going on with the election, Indigenous issues has been, it was part of the debate, and I found it really strange to watch other people decide what was the right thing to do with Indigenous issues. I really did like what Anna May Paul had said around all of it was, I think that we need to bring the right people into this conversation. I'm paraphrasing. But we did have a piece that ran this weekend here on Global from Neetu Garcia with all of the things around Indigenous issues, in particularly Kamloops and it becoming a top election issue. Chief for Kamloops joined Neetu to discuss the campaign priorities around these topics.
So first of all, what is your reaction to what you've seen so far in the federal election campaign and where Indigenous issues seem to stand on the priority list?
Well, when I'm looking at, you know, where reconciliation is on a priority list, you know, what I see is that it has been barely discussed. And, you know, as a community who's in the thick of, you know, dealing with the missing children in our caretakership, you know, we understand the very real, you know, burden, you know, it places on all communities that have been affected and impacted. So, you know, again, first and foremost, you know, it's about grappling with the heart-wrenching truth coming to light. It's about the re-traumatization, the Indian residential school survivors, you know, finally being heard after all this time, really heard. And the toll that it has on all our resources from the community members, our staff and our fellow council, you know, dealing with the onslaught of the work, the emotions, and, you know, the additional financial demands as well. And, you know, knowing that, you know, there's so much skepticism around reconciliation, you know, both here at the Kamloops Tshwetmek and across Turtle Island, as we have collectively, you know, witnessed the glacial pace of the meaningful change by politicians. You know, what I'm observing is from what I have witnessed to date, and there is really little to no real discussion other than a few headlines that have been mentioned and tossed around, you know, during the debate.
And Cookby, Roseanne, what is your message to the federal leaders who have all vowed to work towards advancing reconciliation and building trust on how they can actually do that?
Well, I would say there's a long list of urgent actions that needs to be done. And that's, you know, there's so many that affect us, you know, as First Nations. And, you know, it impacts and has affected all of our lives. And so I think, you know, prioritization for the implementation, you know, of the calls to action of the Truth and Reconciliation on the Commissions of Canada, you know, that is extremely important. That the calls to justice of the national inquiry into the missing and murdered Indigenous women as well. And also the work of addressing the many inequities of in treatment of Indigenous peoples in public policy. You got the Canadian Human Rights Tribunal that Canada racially discriminates against First Nations youth and their families. And definitely ending boil water advisories and ensuring that all Indigenous communities have access to safe, clean water. Also, there's the inequitable access to healthcare and mental health and addiction support. The stories of residential schools and other programs of assimilation tell us that the harms done continue and do exist today. And, you know, those are just some prime examples. So all those need urgent action.
How important is it for you, being the Cookby of the community that has essentially shocked non-Indigenous Canadians right across this country, to have federal leaders visit you in your community and hear you out in your own setting?
Well, for us, it is about truth-telling. And for us, it's about having them hear and see for themselves and know what we're dealing with, know the truths that are here directly, know that there is still so much pain and trauma that is ongoing, and know that, you know, we need to collectively work on that path together moving forward.
All right. Cook P. Roseanne, again, joining us on Global News. Cook P. Roseanne, thank you so much again for your time.
That is an interview with Neetu Garcia from Global News.
It's the Shift Podcast.
He's fresh from his new career as a professional golfer, wearing his baseball hat and ready to do all the sportsing. It's Ryan O'Donnell, in case you missed it.
In case you missed it on the radio, here's...
It's all in the head, yeah.
O'Donnell.
Happy learned how to putt. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. my hips hurt, man. I did not use my hips enough, though, while golfing. You learn something every time you hit the greens, though.
It sounds like you used them incorrectly if they hurt.
Yeah,
I did.
They hurt, yeah.
I did. Yeah, well, my uncle told me you should never be comfortable while taking a golf swing, ever. You should always
really?
Be uncomfortable. Yeah, he said the best swings always come when you are the most uncomfortable, and I have never seen a human being hit a golf ball like he can. It's incredible.
Really?
Like in person. Yeah, oh yeah.
Well, and his I'm swing curious to talk ridiculous. To your uncle. Yeah, I absolutely, the best golf shots in the world just feel like butter. Don't even feel like you hit a ball. Don't even feel like you took a divot. Don't even feel like you swung the club. It's just like the angels are singing and a unicorn runs in front and there's a rainbow. It's just beautiful.
Yeah. The worst or the best putt of the day for me was when I went, I don't care, and hit it one-handed. I didn't even put both hands on the club. I just nonchalantly hit it and it went straight. Mm-hmm. Directly to the line. I was like,
did it go right past the windmill or
no, it just went perfectly center. Very nice.
Did it go off the clown's nose or past the boot?
No, it went just on the green grass. No
oh,
mini golf.
Real golf.
Pretty good at mini golf though. I am pretty good at that. That's because there's cool things for me to try to get around, like obstacles, like jumps and hoops and stuff. Anyway, in case you missed it, the Toronto Blue Jays scored 44 runs in 24 hours. Canada's baseball team is on fire, and they are hunting for a playoff spot. Now, I thought they were going to push for it, you know, like a good push, but what they are doing is ridiculous. For example, the Blue Jays scored just 41 times over a 13-game stretch between August and September. And then they got a total of 47 runs over the entire weekend. Ridiculous. On Sunday, they capped off a series against the Orioles, which was a little up and down, 22-7.
Whoa. That's a football
22.
Score.
22. That's not just a football score. That's like a video game score. When you play a sports video game, you score more. That's like a score I would get if I was playing the baseball video game, which is just ridiculous. There were so many grand slams. It's absurd. The Blue Jays are now tied with the Red Sox, who lost on Sunday, for the top wild card spot in the American League, which is exciting. This game was, there were so many things happening. I mean, can you imagine being the sportscaster for this game? Not being able to just, I mean, baseball is pretty chill, right? Just sit back. Nothing's really going to happen this inning. But no, this game was not that case. Mr. Sportscaster, how did the Jays get their first point?
He's up to 280 now. And he goes after the first pitch and hits it high into the air in right field. And gone! Grand slam home run for Gurriel.
Yeah.
Grand slam home run. That's fantastic. Okay, and then what about when they went up 5-0?
Going high and deep to left, and that ball is gone, just inside the foul pole.
Gone. That's fantastic. Okay, and then what about after that?
Buck's got the best voice ever.
Oh, yeah, Buck.
Doesn't he? What about after that?
The home run.
And then after that?
The home run.
And what about after that?
The home run.
Okay, so basically, wait, how many did they get? 22? Yeah, it was a lot. The Blue Jays kicked some butt. And I think this team is ridiculous, guys. Like, crazy good. I think they're definitely going to make the playoffs. But this could, like, if they play like this in the playoffs, we could see the return of playoff baseball in a proper sense to Tirana. Oh, man. Count me in. Well, love it.
You know sports. The big secret is always scoring more points than the other guys.
Yes, that is the secret. And the Jays are clearly living into that. Okay. Let's talk about
Metallica's... Can we talk about your Blue Jays hat? Like, you are so supportive of them that you're wearing a Blue Jays hat right now.
I am wearing a Blue Jays hat. I love this hat. I'm wearing I'm wearing my Cooperstown. I don't really wear the big baseball hats as much as I used to. I'm wearing my nice Cooperstown vintage series one. I have a Blue Jays jersey, but I cannot wear it anymore. So
your passion for fashion is so impressive.
Passion it's for fashion. It's a very comfortable hat, though.
Yeah.
My favorite team, in full transparency, are the Chicago Cubs, but they suck immensely. And they traded my favorite player, whose name was stitched onto the side of my hat. So it's been the Blue Jays hat for a while. I'm still a little sour about it.
Clearly.
In the meantime, let's talk about Metallica. I am a big Metallica fan. I've seen them twice in concert. It's two of the best shows I've ever been to. They put on an amazing show, but their discography is hit or Baltimore Orioles. And by that, I mean miss and terrible. Let's talk about the Black Album. Metallica, or the self-titled Black Album, the album with Enter Sandman and Nothing Else Matters and all that stuff on it. This album is the best-selling Metallica album. It's probably the best-selling metal album of all time. Number one in 10 countries, 4 weeks at the top of the Billboard, which is ridiculous for a metal album. It's one of the best-selling albums worldwide. It's sold over 16 million copies in the United States. And I hate it. I really do not like this album. Wow, I hate this album. I know.
Send your complaints, by the way, to Ryan at istheshift.ca.
Send it over. I'll debate it, man. The reason I dislike this album is not because it's a bad album. Some of the songs are good. It's mostly just ballads. It's very accessible, and that's the problem. I understand that there comes a point in every band's career where they have to decide, do we stay the course or do we change? And Metallica's decision turned them into one of the biggest bands in the world, introduced their music to millions of people, and I think they made the right call. But it breaks my heart because, man, oh man, do I love 80s thrash Metallica. Old school Metallica is some of the most amazing music to throw your head in, you know, back and forth. It's amazing. But with the Nothing Else Matters, Unforgiven, and it's Enter Sandman's pretty good. You know, it just doesn't really hit. But I get it. I get why this album is loved.
I don't get your perspective, but I'm listening.
It's kind of like another hot topic. I don't like the Beatles, personally. I just never been able to get into the Beatles.
Oh, no.
But
send
I know that the Beatles
to Ryan
are...
and it's the shift.ca.
Yes, I know, I know. But I don't like the Beatles, but I recognize that the Beatles are probably the most important band in the history of music. See, I recognize that. I just personally don't love them. I do like George Harrison's solo album, All Things Must Pass. I like that album.
See, that's so counterintuitive to what everybody else thinks, but that's cool.
I know.
Whatever.
It's fine. Anyway, Metallica know how important this album is to them, and that's why they put together, brace yourself, a 4-hour album of Metallica tribute and cover songs featuring an absurd 52 artists. And they are weird. This album is fitted with several covers of multiple songs that are the exact same. Some of them are really cool and unique, and some of them are terrible. Some of them sound like the band, you know, like your every high school kind of has like a band. And at the end of their set, they would play like a Black Sabbath or Metallica song just to end it. It sounds like that. Yeah, get some credit. So I would like to.
Did they really change the title of it from Black to Bulk, or is that a
no?
I mean, it's spelled two different ways actually, because at the top in the first line, it's Black, but with the K before
Black,
the C. Yeah, and I'm not even sure what album we're talking about, but I knew that.
You know, Kathy did ask on an email. She says, "Why don't you get Ryan to read some of his own typos?" And I said, "Well," I replied back to her on the email tonight. I said, "Well, actually, Ryan, it's like a whole other language, and he's able to read it." So
I just read through it. I read through it. I don't know what really screw with my head. to
ratty means.
Yeah, the ratty friendly rock.
Ratty friendly radio.
Oh, so when the band ditched thrash metal for slower, refined, and, well, honestly, ratty-friendly rock.
It's ratty.
That's a typo.
I don't like, well, I'm ratting on this band right now. I have to, like, stress, like, Metallica.
As you were.
I love Metallica, guys. I love them.
Clearly. Very clearly.
Not very clearly. So I can I play you some of these songs now? Because they're
yes,
kind of
please. I would like to hear these. Or maybe
okay.
I wouldn't.
Weezer. Weezer, another band that I'm a little lukewarm on, that is very important in the history of music. They did a cover of Enter Sandman, and I think it's terrible because it literally just sounds like them going, all right, yeah, here's Enter Sandman. It doesn't sound like Weezer at all. But at the very end, they do something that made me smile. So let's hear Weezer playing Enter Sandman by Metallica. Yeah, Neverland. Ah. Did you catch that at the end there?
Sounds exactly like I would have thought. It sounds exactly like Weezer doing
it.
But they
had a pretty good cover album a few years ago, and that album had like some pretty cool, unique covers. I was hoping they would give that the treatment here. It's not terrible. It's just, it's not great. This is a great one, though. Chris Stapleton. Do you guys know Chris Stapleton?
Yep, country singer, amazing.
He's probably the best singer in country right now in terms of just pure vocal talent. This man, I've seen him live. This man's voice gave me chills live. If there was any man who was going to do Nothing Else Matters, in fact, this album actually can even be redone country, and I think it would work. So Chris Stapleton kind of proves that with a heavy country version of Nothing Else Matters. Here it is.
His voice isn't as big, but I think that they almost need a more of a different treatment on the guitars not sounding so big, but he's so talented.
He's so talented. But we're gonna come back to Miley. Because Miley Cyrus is on this.
That's the one I do
actually.
Know.
Yes. Yeah. In the meantime, do you guys know who J Balvin is?
I do, yeah, Latino singer.
J Balvin from Colombia. He's a Colombian rapper, singer. And
it's quite amazing, actually.
He did a reggaeton version of The Unforgiven. And I don't know. So I'd like you to hear it and then you tell me what you think. La diferencia tuya y mía, que yo nunca he traicionado a mi combo. Cada día más caro. Sigo siendo un descaro. Cada día más duro. Cada día más claro. Cada día más caro. Sigo siendo un descaro. Cada día más duro. Y tú cada día más me lo gané. Well, if you're going to remix a guitar, that's dynamite. Yeah, I actually think that there should be more heavy metal sampling in rap now, because I kind of, I don't love that, but I think it works in a weird way. I don't know.
In defense of J Balvin, he does do some English-Spanish hybrid songs too. So if you like the reggaeton, it's not all Spanish.
Yeah, he's great. I like his stuff.
I like the complete reimagining, because I mean, like a lot of the other ones are just kind of sort of by the numbers, but I do like an attempt at completely reimagining the song like that.
It sounds a little busy for me. I think you let the guitar
do the work, busy. Right? Absolutely. Yeah. But finally, I'm not going to go through all 53 of these. I have listened to most of this, and a lot of it is pretty forgettable.
Yeah.
But Miley Cyrus, along with Elton John and Yo-Yo Ma, and like there's like eight other people on this track, do Nothing Else Matters. And I actually think Miley kills it here.
Miley's
this is actually
amazing.
A really amazing cover of this song. Here it is. I hope you enjoy it because I think it's great. Just I see and I find in you. Every day for us something new. Open mind for a different view. And nothing else matters.
Like, she's so amazing. I know the Hannah Montana and all the crazy stuff, dramatic TMZ stuff in her life that she's done. She's hands down one of the truest of stars out there right now, without a doubt.
Yeah, I love her. I absolutely love her. I'm so glad she left the whole shock value artist thing behind and now is just living into being Miley. That's because she's great. And I loved Hannah Montana growing up. It was a great show. Great show.
You also don't like the Beatles.
Okay. All right. Okay. We got time to do this. Yep. Question. Oh man, I'm actually just going for a theme tonight. More hot takes. Okay. Who is the greatest athlete of all time? Go.
Well, athlete.
You wrote an answer athlete in there, but like, I mean, yeah. I think it's subjective.
Yeah. Just tell me who you think it is.
Tiger Woods.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know. I can't name a great. Oh, no, I refuse.
That's fair. My answer is Michael Jordan. I think when you look at the history of people and the work they put in to win, Michael Jordan is at the top of that pedestal. I think you could argue there are people who are better at their game than Michael. But like when you read and listen to how hard and what Michael Jordan did to win, it's just ridiculous. Like just listen to this trainer talk about how hard Michael works and how competitive he is.
I mean, the most competitive individual I've ever met, never wanted to lose at anything. Always felt like somebody else was going to outwork him, so he wanted to outwork them. Knew what his weaknesses were, knew what his strengths were. He had a big thing where he used to say, hey, listen, I'm going to turn my weaknesses into strengths. And he did.
He did. And obviously, six rings, man. Anything with his name on it is worth a pretty penny. And speaking of which, that's our a big segue into our game for this evening. It is time to play Guess That Prize.
Don't look ahead this time, cheater BK.
Okay. All right. I haven't put the price in there. He has no idea what it is. He can't cheat. All right. You know the game. Let's play the game. Okay. We have a hot item on the auction block today. This is a real auction that is happening right now. Leyland's original auction house has a unique piece of Michael Jordan history up for sale. It's not a jersey. It's not a ring. It's not a basketball. It's his underwear.
Ew.
Yes, I am not joking. Michael Jordan's,
underwear. Wow.
Is up for auction right now. And it gets worse. So this is a pair of Michael Jordan's brand of underwear. It's not exactly 100% clear as to when he wore this truly historic piece. But it's more of like it's like a short. It's not like a tidy whitey. It's short, and the starting bid was $500. Mm-hmm. There's a piece of information here that I think you should know before you guess. The shorts going up for sale at Leyland's auctions were regularly worn and show signs of quote heavy use.
Oh dear God.
Yes. What do you think the current bid is at? I will give you a hint. It is under, thankfully, $50,000. It is under that money.
I don't know. I kind of burped in my mouth a little bit there.
Yeah.
Okay, under $50,000, more than $500. And I noticed that you didn't put it in here because I was looking for DJ BK to scroll ahead. $37,500. Why do I always go first, by the way? This is terrible.
A high bid. That's actually a really good point. Brendan's going first next time.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to scroll through Google here, but I can't find...
Come on.
I'll go with $17,215.
You guys are... this is a lot of money for a pair of underwear. The starting bid was $500. The current bid is at $1,299, which is still, I will remind you, big time. Someone is paying that for Michael Jordan's underwear.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Now, if somebody came up to me and said, hey, you can have this, and it was Michael Jordan's underwear, I would take it. I would frame it.
No.
But I would not pay for it.
No, I wouldn't.
I would not.
No, I wouldn't either.
No. I worship the man.
Yeah. I also don't like the Beatles. Okay. I defend my Tiger Woods because I don't think anybody's come back from the kind of surgeries and physical breakdown and still win like he has. That's why I say Tiger.
That's a good point. Yep. Absolutely. Now,
Michael Jordan was multi-sport, and he played ball too, and that's amazing. So,
yes,
I guess a little bit different.
Thanks for listening to the Shift Podcast.
Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the show, and share with anyone you like. Get it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and CuriousCast.ca.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.